again, guys. I'm Roxanne.
And I'm Nicole.
And you're now listening to the third episode of the Big Bang Buzzcast. So to start off with, we have a few different news items. Some sort of lend themselves more towards discussion than others. To start with, there is an article in USA Today about how the ratings for the show are basically better than ever. And there have been quite a few similar articles this year, just recently, with how well the ratings have done and how they broke 20 million viewers earlier this year. I'm not sure if... Do you have anything to comment on that, Nicole?
Well, I just like any article that at least partially credits the addition of Amy and Bernadette or the development of their relationships, because while I think syndication played a really big part in the popularity, and also going back to season one, they said that they got more popular on the second or third airing of the same episodes during the strike, so I feel like syndication was a really big part. But the paragraph that says, you know, their universe has expanded, and then talks about Leonard and Penny's improved relationship, Wallowitz being with Bernadette, and Amy and Sheldon, I like that they're crediting that move that the writers made to bring them in, as well as the syndication that most people seem to focus on. And I'm not saying that the addition of the new characters played a bigger part, because in all honesty, I don't think so. But I'm glad that they're credited, because I do feel like it was part of it.
Yeah, I agree with that, because as much as I really do love the first three seasons, I feel like there's only so many episodes they could do sticking with that format, or format and just the main five of them. So really adding Bernadette and Amy just opens up so many more opportunities for stories, like what they did in last night's episode, which we'll talk about a bit more later.
Yeah. I was reading an article a couple of months ago that talked about how, like, the life of shows is a lot shorter now than it used to be. And how you see so many things canceled in their first season or in their first couple of seasons. And they talked about how, like, there's, if you keep the same cast, there's, like, a shelf life for the characters for how long they can go with the same dynamics. So bringing in Bernadette and Amy helps keep it fresh, because they didn't mention this, this is just me adding on, but it kind of, like, adds to their shelf life, because adding in the new people, that's the first you're seeing of them, so you get to learn about them as if it's from a pilot with them. And then you also get the differing dynamics, and then those dynamics can help change existing dynamics. So even if it's not the major factor in syndication, I feel like it's a lot of the reason why the show still seems fresh to a lot of people.
Yeah, like, syndication would have definitely brought in new viewers, but then I think definitely having the new characters and the new dynamics, and then just the extra stories that they can tell with them definitely helps to keep the viewers that they have coming back six seasons in now. And then another thing we can talk about is we now have promo pictures for the closet configuration, which we talked about the press release, I think in our first episode. Was that when we talked about it?
I think it was last week.
Well, we talked,
previously.
Well, we talked about it before, so now we've got some pictures to kind of go along with that. They don't really reveal too much. We see, like, Leonard, Penny, Sheldon and Amy all dressed up, it looks like, for the party itself. We see the girls and Sheldon
girls
in the laundry
Sheldon.
Room.
Yes.
I think the last one, at least on this page that I'm looking at, is kind of the most interesting. It's Howard and Bernadette in a closet, and then Sheldon's holding what looks like the letter from Howard's dad. So how we were talking about, we weren't sure if it was, like, an old letter that was left or a new one that was just sent. Based on it, looks like he's just finding it, so it was something that was left years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll have the link to these pictures on the site, so you could take a look at them if you haven't seen them yet.
And you know, that top one with the four of them, I thought Sheldon was in his pajamas at first, because he's got those checkered pajamas, so I was getting really excited as to, like, was he, like, boycotting their party and just was like, no, I'm going to wear my pajamas, and then I saw the tie, and I was like, oh. I'm sure it'll be good, I just got super excited about the pajama thing.
And then we have someone, one of you guys actually emailed me about this. I mean, look, it was Joey, so thanks for the heads up from Joey on this next news item. But Kunal Nair is going to be voicing a character on a new kids' TV show on Nickelodeon. The show is called Sanjay and Craig, and the show is about a boy and his best friend, a snake. And then Kunal, I don't know how large of a character he will be doing, because it doesn't look like he's the main boy, but he's going to be a part of that at least.
He's probably one of those creepy rabbits.
Well, that would be fitting, as Raj wants to be king of the rabbits.
King of the rabbits, yeah.
But his character is Vijay? I don't know. V-I-J-A-Y. I don't know how you would pronounce that. But then I was curious, since I know Kaylee, she was on Brandy and Mr. Whiskers on the Disney Channel. She voiced Brandy, which mm-hmm. I never watched, and then I was really surprised when I found out that that was her. But then I was kind of curious, so I was wondering, like, who else on the cast has done voice work. And Jim Simon and Mayim have all done various degrees of voice work for cartoons and stuff like that, so Kunal is now joining the ranks of doing that as well.
I'm kind of surprised Melissa hasn't.
I know, I was kind of also, just because of, like, how she does the voice for Bernadette and the different, mm-hmm. like, dynamic that she does with that. I was kind of expecting to see something from her.
Yeah, she's got her voice and Bernadette's voice and Mrs. Wallowitz's voice. So, yeah, it surprises me that she hasn't.
Fingers crossed in the future that she does, because that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saved this for last because it kind of ties in with some other things we're going to be talking about. But then there is an article. It was actually an interview with Kate, who plays Lucy. And she was just talking about the role itself and how she got involved. And it was really interesting. She actually auditioned for Amy a few years ago, and she obviously didn't get that, but then they kept her in mind and they remembered her. So then when Lucy came up, they brought her back specifically for this role.
Yeah. Which, I liked what you had said about that, how knowing that they thought of her and brought her back could imply some sort of longevity.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, if Lucy was intended for just, like, a few, like, a very small episode arc, then it wouldn't necessarily matter as much who they got to play her. Like, I'm sure they would still try to find the right person. But mm-hmm. if they're thinking that she's going to be around for a longer time period, they may have really put a bit more thought or effort into, okay, who's really going to fit well with this cast and for this role.
Yeah.
Let me see, what else was in this article? She was a fan of the show before she was cast, and she says how the date ends on a hopeful note when they were asking about whether or not she's going to be back.
I also liked how she says that she'll rewind parts of episodes to watch something specific, because I do that. So I was just like, oh, it's not just me. But when she said, when I was watching the episode where Amy goes to a wedding with Leonard and they're dancing together, and Amy has the sweetest and cutest reaction to Leonard when they're doing the chicken dance, I rewound that 4 times, and I love Mayim Bialik in that and told her as much. So I just kind of liked, you know, just like with Melissa, the kind of fangirly tendency there.
Yeah, I was just thinking she and Melissa can fangirl over the show together.
They were both fans before.
Yep.
As Melissa will tell you as often as she can. And then the rest of this article is kind of just related to some of the questions we had, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and we've gotten a lot more questions from you guys that were left in the comments from our second episode. So definitely thank you for those. Unfortunately, we can't get through all of them in this episode, because if we did, and then we also would talk about last night's episode, it would run too long, or at least how long we're trying to keep these. So what we're going to do right now is we've got a couple questions that we're going to talk about that related specifically to Lucy. And then the rest of the questions, we're still holding on to them, and we'll get to them later. But what we wanted to know from you guys is if you want us to just wait until we've got another hiatus week, and then we can just get through as many of them at once, since we won't have a new episode to talk about, or we can try to fit in an extra episode 1 week and just get through the questions sooner so you won't have to wait. So leave us a comment or send us an email and let us know how you'd like us to answer those questions.
We will answer all of them at some point.
Yes. We're saving them and we're going to answer them. It's just a matter of when. But one of the questions about Lucy, and it was from an anonymous, it says, would you like to see Lucy eventually become a main character? And do you think any of the secondary characters like Kripke or Stewart could ever be added to the main cast? Would that be a good thing for the show? I'm still undecided personally on whether or not I want to see Lucy stick around and become a main character like Bernadette and Amy have, or if I want her to kind of just have this arc and then eventually move on. What do you think?
I don't know if I want her to eventually move on, but I do not want her to be an every episode or miss one or two per season type of character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to go off of examples for other shows, it always seems like they will have the, like, perpetually single person. I mean, with How I Met Your Mother, everyone's paired up but Ted, and you know he ends up getting with someone, but not till the end. With Friends, you had Phoebe and Mike, but Mike was a recurring character, so Lucy could do that. But then you had Joey, who was single until and through the end. And I feel like it's only season 6. They keep talking 10 seasons. I believe that unless they do something terrible and the show totally tanks, they'll probably get 10 or close to 10. And bringing in and matching everybody up from season 6 on, it would certainly be different, but I don't think that they're going to go there. I think that Raj is their single person. So either they'll pair everyone up but not have Lucy around all the time, or they will eventually be like, okay, this was a stepping stone, but it's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want Amy and Bernadette in every episode either. In season 4, I think I said if they were in every 3 or 4, I'd be good, but I didn't want them in every one, and now it feels weird when they're not there. So I might come round to Lucy, but I feel like having a 7-member cast is enough. Eventually, storylines, I feel, will get hectic if you have to have, you know, 3 going every episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really see her, and at the same time, I don't really want to see her become, like, as often as we've got Bernadette and Amy now. I think I'd be okay with her, like, recurring more like Kripke or Stewart does.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're definitely there. They're just not everyday life.
Yeah.
And I don't want Kripke or Stewart to be main characters either. I want them to, in terms of every episode, I think they've got that now.
Yeah, and like as with Kripke and Stewart, it's sort of like we've seen them just as recurring for so long that I think it would feel forced if they were to suddenly be there almost every episode. Like, I know we are seeing Stewart more this season than we had recently. And they did, I believe they upped his billing, but he's still not there all the time. And I still think they're hitting a good balance with the two of them.
And, you know, now that Howard's back from space, they're just seeing him more because they're going to the comic book store. He's not, like, hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see him or Kripke becoming fixtures in that respect because, I mean, if you know someone they've known Stewart at least 5 years and they've known Kripke just as long, you know, you don't casually see someone and then all of a sudden they start hanging out with you all the time. So I don't see that group of friends expanding anymore unless it's due to a relationship, which is the only way I could see, you know, Lucy becoming permanent, but I just don't think that they're going to do that.
Yeah, and, like, especially with what you said about it only being the 6th season right now, and actually in the article about the ratings that we mentioned earlier, they were out talking to the cast about how long they thought the show would go, and mm-hmm. Jim said he was seeing, you know, possible 10 seasons. So, and with that, definitely, I agree also that it could very easily run that long. Like, even though it feels like, on one hand, like, Raj has been, like, single for so long, and I kind of want to see him, like, have some success in a relationship at the same time with everybody else pretty permanently paired up, it does seem kind of early to have him paired up as well with someone for the long run.
Yeah. And with the current relationships, if any one of them breaks up, you know, the characters aren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, Amy and Bernadette being brought in, like, you know, they're friends with, you know, Penny now, and Bernadette is at least pretty friendly with Leonard in terms of what they can talk about with work. And I just don't see, you know, they're not going to go anywhere if they broke up. Like, mm-hmm. when, you know, with Priya and Stephanie, like, they weren't really integrated with the group. They were just there because of, you know, their relationship. So when they left, it's like, okay, that's fine. But Amy and Bernadette are connected to Penny, and of course we know Penny and Leonard aren't going anywhere because they've been there since the beginning. So even if they were going to break them up and make Lucy Maine to make her date Raj, like, it's still eight people that they're going to have in every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so much you can do if they're broken up, because I don't really see Lucy, like, deciding to hang out with the different cast members. So she's only going to be with Raj for the foreseeable future, even if she sticks around.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, sort of, like, maybe a way that we could get a bit of an early heads up what the writers are planning on doing with Lucy, like, how long to stick around, is if someone who's actually going to, like, these tapings with her, I don't know how the actress is being listed in the programs, because at the tapings, you know, they give out programs and they list the cast for that week. And pretty much, like, initially it was only the main five who were listed as, like, the regular cast, and everybody else was always a guest star. But then in season four, when they brought Bernadette back, and then after Amy had been there for a bit, they moved both of them up. They were listed with the main cast in the programs. And then that was sort of a hint before there were even any official announcements online that, hey, we're going to be seeing them for a while. But then I think Stuart this season, at least in the beginning, he was listed with the main cast also. But we haven't seen him as regularly as the rest of them. So I'm assuming for now Lucy is still, like, listed with the guest stars. But if they ever do change her listing in that could let us know what they're planning on doing with her a little bit.
I know, since you've been to multiple ones, under guest starring, is it listed alphabetically, or if it's a recurring character, are they at the top? Because I just went and grabbed my program, and from that episode it was just Dimitri and Mike Massimino, so, like, obviously, that's no one that's, like, a regular recurring person. But do you know or remember if it's alphabetical, or if, like, it was Lucy and then, like, a couple characters we've only seen once? Like, would they be, is it alphabetical, or is it, like, an order of importance?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I have my programs nearby, so let me see if I could just flip through and see something.
Okay.
All of these I'm going through just have, like, one guest star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, for the Lunar Excitation, that had the guest stars were Mayim Bialik, Brian Thomas Smith, and Laurie Johnson. And Mayim was listed first, and then followed by Brian Thomas Smith, and then Laurie Johnson. And Laurie Johnson was Mrs. Gunderson, and Brian was Zach. So those are listed by character importance, because it goes Amy, Zach, Mrs. Gunderson. And it's not quite alphabetical, because otherwise Brian and Lori would have been switched.
Yeah, when you were reading those, I was putting it alphabetical. Yeah, so if anyone has programs from one with Lucy, let us know where she's placed on that. I wish these things had, like, starring and then, like, recurring and guest starring. But no, they don't think we put this much thought into things.
Okay, and then I think we can move on to the other question that we had about Lucy, and this is from Nat, and it says, I have a thought on Raj and his potential new girlfriend. Do you guys think they will eventually try to work in a way for Raj to overcome his fear of talking in front of girls? I find it infeasible that Raj will have to be drunk every time he sees her. Which, kind of, funnily, the last night's episode addressed that in a new way with them texting during their mm-hmm. date.
Which I thought was adorable. But mm-hmm. I just want to, when I read that question, he doesn't have to be drunk. Because if you notice, I mean, like, a lot of the time, you know, you don't get drunk that fast. Like, I don't have a whole lot of experience in that, but, like, so many times he's taken a sip of something, and then boom. Mm-hmm. So, whether it's actually alcohol or not, I know in season 2 they had the whole placebo effect, but even if it's actually alcohol, it's still a placebo effect because, you know, you take a sip of something, you're not instantly drunk enough to have your inhibitions or whatever lowered. So... Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, he could just, like, if they had, like, wine or something, like, he could take one sip of it and he's capable of talking to her. So I think at this point his selective mutism is not only he doesn't have to be drunk, but I think he doesn't really have it anymore. He just thinks he has it and it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy because he takes one little sip of alcohol. That's not a magical cure, but the way it's being portrayed, it is. So, really, I think all he needs to do to overcome his mutism is to be convinced that he doesn't have it. Because right now, I think the only thing is he thinks he has it, so he does. Because you don't get drunk that quickly.
Yeah, it's really more of just, like, he feels like he needs to have some sort of alcohol. And, like, in addition to him just...
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, in addition to him just, like, taking a sip of a drink and then he can talk, there was the episode... I think with the FBI agent where he had, like, rum cake or mm-hmm. something, and he just, like, took a bite of that, and then that was enough for him to be able to talk. So it's really definitely more of a mental thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but as far as if he overcomes it, I kind of feel like if he ever really gets over that for someone, that will kind of be, like, the one for him. Or at least it would have to be someone... major in his life.
Yes. Which I always thought it would be Penny simply because he spends enough time around her.
Mm-hmm.
And like with Howard, you know, in the Big Brand Hypothesis specifying he can't talk to attractive women, like I figured, okay, maybe him being around Penny a lot and being like, you know, used to her and also knowing that she's not romantic potential for him, I always thought that he would just be able to talk to her. But eventually, but as the series goes on, I'm starting to think it's going to be like a sign of some sort, like for his romantic life.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't know if they're going to have him overcome it and then be like, okay, that was a step and now I can move on to finding somebody else. And he like needs Lucy to overcome it because they're both so unstable, but then they're both going to decide like, okay, we helped each other, but we got to move on. I still feel like it's way too early because I haven't had enough real progress. It's like it's going well, but they both don't really know what it is.
Yeah, like, if he were to overcome it with Lucy somehow, it would definitely be something further down the line, like, not this season for sure. But yeah, it would either be, if he were to overcome it, like you said, some sort of, like, a major step in his life, or I'm even thinking just, like, if I see, like, Raj finally getting over that with a girl, I would think, like, okay, is that the girl that he's gonna, like, be with? Is that endgame for Raj? Because of how big of a deal it's been and how long this has been going on.
I mean, Raj talking to somebody without being drunk or thinking he's drunk is kind of like the I love you from Penny or the physical contact from Sheldon. Like, that's, like, Raj's wall.
Yeah.
So, whoever helps him take that down, I feel like it's gonna be a big deal now. Whereas before, I just thought, okay, he'll get comfortable with Penny and just be able to talk to her.
Mm-hmm. It kind of is interesting, since we were just watching, we didn't actually get to that episode, but watching season 1 the other day and I was thinking about it, how early they introduced the, like, the excuse. Yeah, but how early on they showed, like, hey, we're gonna let Raj talk if he has alcohol. Like, they didn't even string it out for a whole season that Raj can't talk around girls. Pretty early mm-hmm. on, they gave themselves this out, to actually let him talk around Penny and any other girls.
Yeah, they filmed that before the strike happened.
Mm-hmm.
That was their last episode that aired. that they made pre-strike. So, they did do that very early on because, you know, having the woman in the cast, like, he wasn't having anything to do. Yeah, but I don't remember. I don't remember them using that a whole lot in season one, though.
Yeah, they didn't really use it.
But they introduced it.
Yeah, I actually, when I started watching the show, I came into it. It was into season three, but the episodes I watched were mid-season two to the end. And the episodes I watched, the first chunk of them, I didn't realize that Raj couldn't talk in front of girls. I didn't realize that he could only talk in front of them if he had alcohol. I think until I got to the Terminator decoupling, when it's, specifically gone through there, mm-hmm. because it just wasn't brought up, and somehow I didn't notice that he never really talked in front of Penny. So, yeah, they had that as an out, but at the same time, they didn't make a big deal out of it that often.
Whereas the Grasshopper experiment was the first episode I watched, so until I got used to it, I didn't even know the name of the show. I referred to it as the show with the guy who can't talk to women unless he's drunk. And I thought the show was about Raj for, 2 months. But, yeah, they did introduce that pretty early. And I like how they've used it. A lot of times people will be like, oh, but Raj wasn't drunk in that episode, and then in this scene, and then you go back to that scene and there is, a beer sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always careful to have that, but they aren't always making a big he's drunk deal about it.
Yeah, it's almost because he can just have a beer, it almost makes it a non-issue. But at the same time, just the fact that, we have this question, is Raj ever gonna get over his fear? It's something that people still care about, and that would be a big deal for him to finally fully get over.
I think we should take bets on whether he'll talk to women while consciously sober, or we find out Penny's last name first. Which I'm actually going with the Raj thing.
Yeah. I'd probably go with the Raj one also as happening first. Because I can see the writers just, waiting until the finale. The series finale before they finally let us know what her last name is.
Well, unless they pull the trick where they just have her get married and then be like, well, you know her last name now. There's no point in knowing her other name.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay, we're betting on Raj. So, yes. Hey guys, if you have any bets, or tell us know which one you think's going to happen first.
And if you want to add Sheldon and Amy doing anything into the mix, then feel free, because I think that these are some pretty long-term... I don't want to say epiphanies, but you know what I mean.
There. If it happens, it's going to be way down the road.
I think the Shamey thing would be first. I'm going Shamey, Raj, Penny. But if mm-hmm. If we count the married name thing, I think I might go Shamey, Penny, Raj.
No, but we'll counting see. Penny's name as what her last name is now. Currently? before marriage.
I'd put money on us never finding that out, to be honest. But I can see them just getting her married and just pulling the, oh, well, you know it now, who cares what it used to be, just so they never have to tell us.
No, I feel like that they've teased us about it for so long at this point, and I really don't think they initially meant to, but then just the fact that they went a while and they didn't need to give her a name, and then people started getting curious, and then they were just like, oh, you want to know? You're going to have to wait to find out.
So yeah,
I feel like at this point, they kind of have to
disinterest.
Tell us.
Yeah. We just pretend we don't care. We'd be like, oh, what's Lucy's middle name? Ask about that. And then they'll be like, well, why don't you care about Penny? Yeah, we don't care about that. And they'll be like, oh, well, it's this. We're like, hey. But no.
Do we even know Lucy's last name yet?
No, I was actually thinking of the actress's last name.
Okay. So let's everybody ask about Lucy's last name. And maybe
Lucy's last name or Penny's last name first.
Okay, and then just last night's episode, we can talk about, I guess, the Raj and Lucy first, since they've been the main point of this discussion recently. I know you really loved the library, the whole date scene and everything.
I did. Prologue to that, though, when we started to do this podcast idea, I did not expect that over half of our conversations would be on Raj's love life.
Yeah, I don't know, or it's just weird that it suddenly came up, and now it's such a big thing after he hasn't had anyone.
That's why it's such a big thing.
Huh? Or just Raj having or being with someone, or them giving him the storyline.
Yeah, well, that's why it's such a big deal, because he hasn't had anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really liked it because, you know, they're both so socially awkward, and it's like, that's not what you would think of as a date, but, like, it works for them. Mm-hmm. And they were both pretty comfortable. And I just really liked the texting date idea, one, for creativity on Raj not being able to talk, and two, because, like, everyone knows it's a lot easier to text something to someone than actually talk to them. Like, not even in serious issues. Like, it doesn't have to be a relationship thing. Like, a lot of times they'll just be like, oh, I'll see this person, I have to ask them something, like, oh, I'll text them later. Or text them before. So that's really good, I think, for Lucy's anxiety issues. Even though it helped Raj, too, I'm glad that they pointed out that it was a thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I care a lot about Lucy's sense of security, and she's only been in, like, 3 now. But I'm like, I'm glad it was good for Lucy.
I'm still not sure. I don't know, it's not that
I'm still good with her being nuts. Huh? Like, if she turns, I'm still good with it turning out with her being, like, completely crazy. But mm-hmm. right now, I'm just like, aw.
I would be down for that.
Totally.
But with Raj and Lucy so far, like, their scene that they had in the hallway, like, outside of his apartment, that was still my favorite. Like, I really liked that. I didn't get quite the same amount of, like, emotion or interest, I guess, out of the date that they had in the library. I still enjoyed it. But just not as much. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it wasn't as honest. They were having mm-hmm. more of a first date type conversation. But I did like Raj's thing about loving prom. And then he's like, oh, that was autocorrect. I meant I like sports.
Yeah.
And then she was totally good with that response.
But yeah, I did really like the texting, cause you know, when he was first setting up the table and he had what looked like water bottles, and I was thinking like, okay, does he have like alcohol in the basket also? But the texting was a nice way around that, and especially like with them being in a library, you can't really have much conversation there anyways. So it worked on a lot of levels. And then we had the guys talking to the junior high school girls about science. Which was pretty much as awesome as I was hoping it would be.
Yeah.
My one complaint, though, with that is when Leonard... As soon as, like, the girl asked Leonard how he got into science, I was just like, oh, this is gonna spiral into something about his mother.
Yeah.
Which, since they've, like, done it, I feel like so much before, and it doesn't really reflect well on Leonard as a character, or it just feels like they're repeating something old. And I loved the rapping that he did, like, that kind of made up for it, but at the same time, I was like, do we really need to go through this again?
I don't like hearing his sob stories. I mean, on some level, I feel bad for him, because it's like, those are kind of like his demons, and they're never going away.
Mm-hmm.
But I would prefer, you know, I prefer the comments he just makes, like, oh yeah, like, well, my mother used to make us write essays on Christmas or something like that, like, rather than him just, like that, or in the pants alternative, where he just makes it about him.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, when I see something I don't like, you know, I always try to come up with, like, okay, well, this is why they did that, just to make myself feel better about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just writing this off as character consistency. Whenever mm-hmm. someone asks about his mother, he goes off into this, like, diatribe. So, with that, I was like, okay, it's continuity, that's just what I'm calling it, and moving on, because, you know, I'm like, I don't like dwelling on stuff I don't really like, so I'm just like, mm-hmm. okay, this is consistent, whatever, I'll take it. But I did like how, I guess, passionate about it he was, like, about making women feel comfortable in pursuing scientific careers.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, as someone who was going to pursue a scientific career for a while, like, I know what they mean by, like, I'm not going to go into the cliche societal pressure, whatever, but in terms of, you know, whenever people would come in and talk to us in, like, my high school, like, scientists, they were almost always male. And it never discouraged me, but I definitely noticed you guys never have females come in.
Mm-hmm.
So it just made me think, you know, there aren't a lot of female scientists. And when you say, you know, name scientists, you think Einstein, you know, you think like a bunch of males. And whenever Big Bang Theory is like, oh, female scientists, I know it's Madame Curie, because like that's the only one people can mention.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about Madame Curie a lot, but you rarely hear about other female scientists. And I'm not saying Big Bang's sexist. I'm just saying that since there are so few, like, if they want to reference something in the show, it's more than likely going to be a male's work. So I did like that they had, just because, like, there's a higher proportion of them. So I did like that they had the episode in general talking about women in science. But the entire episode, you know, my family was all like, why are they giving a talk about women in science and not bringing Amy and Bernadette in? So when they called them, I'm like, good job.
Yeah, that thought didn't even really cross my mind for some reason. But then at the end, when Sheldon said it, it was like, well, of course, like, they really should have done that when they have them right there.
Yeah, and I did like how Sheldon, I don't remember his wording, but like, he said that he knows, like, two really intelligent or successful, you know, he, like, complimented Bernadette in the same sentence. You know, it was the same way as Amy.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like it because, well, I mean, Amy's been, you know, she's had her doctorate longer and stuff, but in this sense, Sheldon wasn't making, like, a, you know, comment that suggested that Bernadette wasn't as good as Amy because she recently got her PhD or that she wasn't his girlfriend. Like, he grouped them together and was like, these two women are intelligent and successful and important, and he didn't feel the need to make a distinction between them.
And then, like, when they had them on the phone, I really loved the juxtaposition of them, like, you know, talking about these careers in science and how they can do, you know, anything they want, and at the same time, they're just dressed up in their princess costumes. Like, yes, they can be successful scientists, and then they can still have fun and dress up, and it's just, like, you know, like, the two completely different things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did, I know that Janina on the forum was talking about how, like, feminism isn't, you know, being a tomboy and rejecting that stuff. It's being able to consciously decide if you want to be girly or if you want to be a tomboy or whatever, and it's your decision. So I liked how, like, they're successful, but they want to dress up as princesses for a day. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see Mayim, the blog post that she had about the dressing up as a princess thing?
Yes.
I don't know, because you bringing up the comment from the forum just kind of reminded me of that. But she was talking about how she's never,
That comment from the forum was actually in response to that article.
In response. I wasn't sure if that was a comment just regarding the episode in general.
But go ahead.
Just like what Mayim's article is basically saying about how there's no, like, genetic predisposition for, like, girls to, like, princessy things or the color pink or anything like that, and it's more of, like, a society-forced type thing. So, yeah, like, then the comment in response to that, girls can choose whether or not they want to be a princess or not.
Yeah, because we were actually disagreeing with part of Mayim's article because we can see where she's coming from. If girls want to dress up as princesses because they're told that that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But we were disagreeing because it seemed to imply that she was saying that it's, like, a bad thing if you're like that because it must be societal pressure. And what she was saying was, you know, this is just, you know, some people, they just choose, they like that. Like, there are some tomboys who want to dress like a Disney princess once in a while. There are some people who just want to be like that all the time, and there's no genetic predisposition toward it, but there's not one against it either, that society is, like, working against the grain. So, they do, you know, we do agree that, you know, some people, like, it is, like, going back to sexism, but in this day and age, you know, old-fashioned sexism isn't necessarily going toward that. It's just, you know, some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah, I did get that same impression from her article, where as much as she was trying to point out, like, the outside influences that can affect, like, whether or not girls want to be a princess, it did seem to kind of be against the idea of princesses in general.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, just even preferring that sort of thing.
Which, just quick personal example, you know, my sister and I were raised in identical environments. And, you know, when we were little for Halloween, like, she had girlier Halloween costumes than me. Like, she's not girly, we both consider ourselves tomboys, but just when we were little, like, I was dressing up as, like, cats, and she dressed up as, you know, I was Glinda one year, like, that's, you know, that happened, but, on the whole, like, she was girlier than me. And we were raised by the same parents in the same house in the same town. We had most of the same teachers. You know, she was in class with the younger siblings of people I was in class with. So we were raised by, in essentially the, as identical environment as you can get. But as kids, we were just different. So it wasn't a society thing. And I don't know how well that translates to, like, the world as a whole. But I know that it's not necessarily societal pressure. Some people just like that. So yeah, I did like her, you know, strong woman, you know, tone of it, but I do disagree that I feel like it's less a society thing than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, princess costume aside, I just really loved the girls in general. I just always pretty much love them in general, but whenever they get, like, a storyline, and I think especially with this one, because, like, it wasn't in the press release, we didn't have any promo pics for it, just how it all played out and getting to see them in the costume, since it was a lot more of a surprise than a lot of the things generally are in the episodes, it just kind of made it that much better.
Yeah. And I thought Melissa was an adorable Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I liked her... Like... You can go.
I was just going to say, at Disneyland, adults can't actually dress up as a princess like that, because, like, they don't want them to be confused as, like, for the actual, the cast members that
I know you can at Disney World, but I've never been to Disneyland.
Yeah, so, like, at first when Bernadette was like, oh, let's go, you know, dress up as princesses, I was like, but you can't actually do that. But then just being able to actually see them dressed up, I was like, okay, I'll just overlook that little fact.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure Bernadette could have intimidated them into it. I loved her. Come at me. See what happens.
Yeah, Bernadette can intimidate just about anybody, I think.
You know, with Penny bragging about being such a tough Nebraskan farm girl, I would really want to see her and Bernie get into, like, some sort of physical fight. I would put money on Bernie, but just because we've seen Penny in the girl fight with Alicia, and that was kind of pathetic, so, I definitely think that Bernadette's just as much bite as bark, whereas Penny's a little more bark.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing, to see Sleeping Beauty and, for, you know, little kids at Disneyland, to see Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella, like, throwing punches at each other.
And that's why Disney doesn't let adults in with costumes.
Yeah, just because of that.
Let's see, is there anything else in the episode that you wanted to comment on?
Just that Howard's reaction to Bernadette's costume is, like, my new favorite thing. Like, how he, like, whips off his shirt and then, like, snaps to attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then his little canter over there. I was like, that's kind of awesome.
I really wasn't... I didn't know what to expect for him when he started, like, oh, please be whatever, Cinderella. Like, what he was wishing for. But then just the fact that he was, like... Because I was thinking whatever he was wishing for, it would be, like, he would be disappointed. But then the fact that that's what he wanted, and that she had known that in advance, and that's why she was, like, so set on being Cinderella, that was pretty much perfect.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that Cinderella was his woman of choice, because of his comment in the Grasshopper experiment about how you can get Snow White to come to your house.
That would have been really good continuity if they had matched that up.
Yeah, too bad they casted a blonde.
Yep.
But yeah, I was just like, for a second, I was just like, oh, but Snow White's the girl you like. Maybe he just had a bad experience with that Snow White, and now Cinderella's his favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did think of that. But yeah, that was pretty much, I think, all my thoughts on the episode. I didn't go back through my tweets, but I don't think I made too many, because my internet was being wonky. But yeah, I think we covered all the parts that I liked. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for me also. Looking at my tweets really quick, I just have to say again that I love the Harry Potter reference. It seems like we've had a lot of them recently.
Yeah, I was wondering if there actually was a lot of them or if I was just picking them up more recently, but, yeah, I wanted to text you and be like, hey, there was another Harry Potter reference, but I thought that you would, prefer just hearing it. I also liked Leonard's I wanted to be a rap star like Snoop Dogg, but with a healthy respect for the police. And, oh, and how Amy was, like, so excited, like, sharing her plan with them as to how she got out of work, and she had that big grin on her face, and then they're all, what did you do, Penny? And she's like, I worked at the Cheesecake Factory, I just said bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then Raj counting their almost kiss as foreplay.
Oh, yeah.
That just shows how desperate the poor guy is.
I kind of like that they didn't actually kiss. Because, yeah, of course, like, you know, she's leaning in, and, like, with a camera, everyone's like, you expect to see a kiss there, but then she's just like, oh, no, panic attack, maybe next time.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty good way to end the date.
Yeah, it was very fitting. It was going super well, but she was like, you know, I've reached my limit for tonight.
Yeah.
Which is good, because, you know, you don't have a first date, and then all the problems are magically cured, so.
Yeah, so they can take it step by step.
Yep. And now the, you know, hardcore shippers still have the kiss to look forward to.
Yep. And then so I think that pretty much. Yes, can you hear
him?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Jack in the background. I guess he's not too happy right now. But I think that pretty much wraps up our third episode. Thank you again for listening. And I mentioned this on the site, but you can now find us in iTunes. If you just do a search for Big Bang Buzzcast, we pop right up, so you can listen and subscribe that way.
And then, don't forget to tell us if you want us to do an extra episode with just Q&A, or if you want us to wait for hiatus week, and tell us about what you would bet on for Raj's, you know, mutism versus Penny versus Sheldon. Because
yes,
I'm genuinely curious.
First?
Yes.
And
are we both, for the record, betting on Raj, or are we changing it?
Yeah, I'm voting on Raj, at least. That's what you said, so.
That's what I think, yep.
Okay, yeah, so we're both voting on Raj for that one. And then, really quick, one other way you can now listen to us. I just got an email notification earlier today that we were added to Stitcher.com, which is a site that one of the listeners actually mentioned to me. But I guess pretty much there you can listen to the episodes and, like, stream them without actually downloading them. And it's an app for, like, the iPhone, at least. I'm not sure about Android. But, yeah, that's Stitcher.com, and you can find us on there as well. In addition to, of course, the main site, which is thebigbangbuzz.com.
We're getting so user-friendly.
Yes.
I don't think Sheldon would like that.
Well, Sheldon's not listening to our podcast anyway, so that doesn't matter.
That's true.
Okay, so yeah, that wraps it up for this week. Tell us how you want us to answer your questions, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Yeah, bye.